Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Monday edition of our show. It's Bill and Wendy. You can call us. You can text us. 312-981-7200 is the best way to do that. Hi, Wendy.
Hello, William.
Welcome back.
Oh, I just left a half hour early on Friday.
You got a much longer weekend than the rest of us.
I know.
Did you take advantage of that extra 30 minutes?
I certainly did.
Anything special? Anything good over the weekend?
Pretty relaxing weekend.
Mm.
Got to see an old boss.
How'd that happen?
Jeff Schwartz was in town, and he used to work at the Loop radio station when Disco Demolition went around.
Right.
Or when it happened.
He's legendary. For people who are not in radio, if you hear the name Jeff Schwartz, be ready, because he's legendary.
Hey, buddy!
Yes.
His nickname, Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, right.
From a sports station. That's all I did, and really, that was enough for the weekend.
That was the highlight. You got to hang out with a former boss, who's a big fan. I know he's a fan of your work.
He's a fan of your work also.
Nah, it doesn't matter. He was never my boss. I worked kind of alongside him once for a little while, but he was never really my boss. But I like him and respect him.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
What did you do this weekend?
Would you be shocked if I told you that my wife and I went to the Wisconsin Dells?
No, because on Friday you had mentioned that you were thinking about it, and I thought of you this weekend. I heard a commercial on this very radio station for a certain place,
mm-hmm.
and I thought to myself, I wonder if Bill ended up going there.
Here's the craziest thing, and I've told you part of this before, but I will tell you how it ends up. When I was 7 years old, my family went to the Wisconsin Dells, and we ate at a restaurant called Ishnala, and Ishnala is a sponsor now of WGN. At the time, I was seven, so I don't know. I didn't know too much about it. I just knew we were there, and I loved it when I was seven. So then years and years and years passed, and I always kept this kind of romantic memory of that restaurant because I loved everything about it when I was a kid. And I would talk about it from time to time. And one time, Terry just said, why don't we ever go there? And I said, oh, it's in the Wisconsin Dells. It's not like you just get in the car and you go there. You got to plan it out. She goes, no, that's ridiculous. Let's go there. This was 4 years ago. So we went there. This was 4 years ago when we went. And the whole way out there, the entire ride, I kept saying to her, I want to apologize in advance because I was seven when I ate there and maybe my taste buds were not quite ready for what was good and what wasn't. So this might not be good.
Might just be a flop.
No, this might be awful.
This is 4 years
and
ago.
It's a long drive for it might not be good. And then we got there and it looked exactly like I remembered it and everything was the same. It's the ultimate supper club. Like if you like that kind of 1940s, 1950s atmosphere, nothing is better than Ishnala. It's just, it captures it beautifully.
Did you wear a zoot suit?
Well, I always wear a zoot suit.
Oh.
So that was nothing special.
I don't
special.
See you on the weekend, so I
yeah.
didn't know that.
As soon as the show is over on Friday, I slide down a bat pole, and you
zoot
know how Bruce
up.
Wayne would become Batman when he
yes.
slid down the pole? I become zoot suit guy. So we went there 4 years ago, and I'm not kidding when I say it was better than I remembered it, which seems impossible, but it's not. So now for the last couple of years, Terry goes, why don't we ever go back there? And I go, well, we should go back there one day. Well, that day was over the weekend. And it's perfect. You go back in time. It's one of those places that as soon as you see it, like it's
does it overlook water?
It's Mirror Lake, which is a really beautiful lake in Wisconsin. It's near the Wisconsin Dells, like I said, and near Baraboo, which is the circus capital of
yeah.
the Midwest.
Okay, tell me you spent the night up there.
We did spend the night.
Okay.
We did. At a fantastic
you know what? That's a great question, by the way, because I could see them just going, okay, dinner
right.
was great. Let's go
We did that last
home.
Time. We just drove. We finished dinner, had a required Brandy Alexander, because if you don't, the locals talk about you. And I like Brandy Alexanders, surprisingly. So, yeah, last time, Steve, we did. We got in the car and then we drove home. But this time we planned ahead a little better and we got a bed and breakfast. But boy, is that place good.
I bet they'd make a good Manhattan there for me.
Those were flowing like crazy because while you're waiting, there's this outdoor deck that, again, overlooks the lake. And everybody had a Manhattan. Everybody. Except one guy had this drink that was like a glowy pink orange. Not a Manhattan.
Wasn't that you?
And you wanted it.
Yeah,
I wanted it so badly. And
raspberry
Terry said,
bubble or whatever you...
or it is a raspberry bubble. Terry said, well, ask him what it is. And I said, Terry, there's guy code. And she goes, what are you talking about? I go, A guy can't just go up to another guy and go, what's your glowy pink drink? Because I want one. In Wisconsin?
Well,
are you kidding? They'd never find us.
Your drink looks good. You don't have to say glowy pink drink.
No, I would want to be descriptive.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way to do that, really.
There's no way to do that.
Good looking drink.
Can't communicate with one another. I don't know what
to
do.
He would have been insulted, and I didn't want that.
It was glowing?
Yeah, it was like a radioactive pink color. But it looked so refreshing. And I was like, whatever that is.
It's like a cartoon drink.
That's what I thought it was, with some cartoon juice. Where'd you get your cartoon juice, mister?
Like Jimmy Neutron?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the kind of thing Jimmy Neutron's dad would have drank. I wanted one so badly.
Boy, if that poor guy is listening right now, if you were at Ishnala and you had the glowy pink drink, please call us, 312-981-7200.
I have to also say this really quick, and then we can get on other things. Here's something that's missing in most restaurants today. There was a time when the restaurant owner was front and center in a restaurant. Like when you walked in, he was there to greet you, and during your meal, he'd walk around.
How's everything going?
That kind of thing. Yep. Like when I was a kid, I remember that was part of the deal, is you'd walk in and there was the owner just right there, and then that. And you don't get that much anymore. But I do have to say that they do that at Ishnala. Bob, the owner, goes out of his way. He's the first person you see when you walk through the door. He's always making rounds, making sure everything's good.
That's awesome.
I love that kind of thing.
That's old school, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They've kept it old school.
Yeah,
it's really nice. Did you stop by the Tommy Bartlett Water Show?
Passed by it, didn't stop in. We did see... Now, we didn't have time for this, but it was Circus Week in Baraboo, and it's Circus Town, so they had this huge parade in downtown Baraboo, which we didn't get to see. But then the next day, there's this huge museum there, the Circus World Museum, and we didn't go through it. We passed by it, and you can see a lot of it from the road, and it's really eerie, which I like. It's like...
Bill, it involves clowns. What are you thinking?
I know.
But the Tommy Bartlett Water Show, we went to the Wisconsin Dells, and I've told the story before. Aunt. We just called her Aunt. She had her old Chevy, and she forgot. We had gotten out of the car, parked in the lot at the Tommy Bartlett Water Show. We started walking in. She forgot something, went back to her car, just as a guy was slapping a bumper sticker on her car, and she goes, "That is private property. Take that thing off." And the guy, it's some like, you know, young kid kind of going, "I've been told I got to put it on every car." She goes, "You will take that off my car, and you will take that off my car right now." She got him to take it off her car.
Did he replace it with a bumper sticker that says, "Don't mess around with Aunt"? Because I would have done that immediately.
But he should have.
When you were, you never went to the Dells, right?
Yeah, I just
you
said.
Did,
we
but
went
that was
to
the only time?
Yeah, the All Dells, right. Indian Rock, ceremony.
The one where the wolf or a dog jumps from one rock to another? Was that the one?
Stand Rock. That's
Stand
what
Rock.
It was. Stand Rock Indian
we
ceremony.
There.
And then we, of course, rode the aqueducts, which were kick-ass.
But do you remember, like, the Dells of old had a bunch of, like, the House of No Gravity and Elf Cottage and stuff like that, where you would just kind of walk around and it was tourist trappy.
Yeah.
But now it's like it's all water parks.
Oh.
Like, that's the only way you can get from one end of town to the other is to get on a slide of some sort.
I don't do water
take
parks.
Take a chute to the other water slides. But
really?
I miss, like...
It's like a little village.
No, it's like kind of where Elon Musk got his idea of going in a pneumatic tube from New York to D.C.
Right.
Well, that's not fun.
It is
for kids, but
kitschy. Like there was a real high kitsch factor that I really enjoyed when I was a kid, but that's kind of subsided. And there's like it's a lot of water parks, and you can still get fudge fairly easily.
Well, then I'll go.
It's heaven in the wintertime when you've got little kids.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Why?
Because of the indoor water parks.
Oh, I guess
it's a place to go.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's the thing about the Dells is it used to kind of be more, you know, warm weather related.
Right.
And now it's 20, you know, it's 12 months a year. It's
or 24 hours a day.
Or 24 hours a day or 12 months
a year. It's the Midwest Vegas. What are you saying?
Yeah, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. All right.
I'm glad your vision matched.
It's amazing. I told the story to the owner, and he even said, "How often does that happen? Because usually you have a romantic image of something in your head when you're a kid, and then you see it again, and you go, what happened? It's nowhere near as cool. But this, like, it's pristine. It's like it's somehow sealed in the 50s. I love that.
I had a similar situation somewhere you went as a kid. And if you do 312-981-7200, were you disappointed? Was it the same? Because it very rarely matches up.
Hardly ever. Hardly ever. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then on to that. We're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Where has our summer gone?
It's dripping fast.
I'm just ready to get into summer mode now.
I know what you mean.
It's half at most. Only half gone.
Little beyond the 50-yard line.
You
just
think?
A little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. June 24th would be well into summer.
Kids go back to school on the solar eclipse day, which I'm trying to sell them as, what a great way to start school, man. You get to see the solar eclipse. If you were just hanging out in your house in the summer,
if you
wouldn't even go outside.
Yeah, if you were skipping, if you skip, you'll see the solar eclipse.
Right.
But at school, they'll have all the boxes and everything you're supposed to use to see it.
That's
a big deal.
Very positive spin, Wendy.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Very positive.
I'm half positive.
Right. Right.
I'm never all positive.
No, you don't want to be all positive.
But now you had a positive memory going to Ishnala when you were a young kid, going back there 4 years later, and it exceeded your expectations, exceeded your memories.
I know it's a long drive. I get it. It's Chicago.
How long?
3.5 hours. But it's one of those things that is so worth it. You know, there's not a second of regret. If Terry said to me next Saturday, you know what, we should go back, I'd go, all right, let's go back.
Well, Debbie has a moment she'd like to share with Ishnala as well. Hi, how are you, Debbie?
Hi, good morning.
What do you think, Deb? It's worth it, isn't it?
It is. I had a mental build. I had the same thing growing up. We went to the Dells when I was a child, and we went to Ishnala's, and several years ago, my husband and I bought a home here at the Dells. We have a lake home. And I told him, I said, we've got to find this restaurant. We've got to go to Ishnala. And we were there Wednesday night, and we go about once a year. And it is the same, if not better, than it was when I was little. And now you just have two memories, because now we just go and have some Randy old fashions and have a great dinner, and it's wonderful.
Oh, I'm so glad you like it. That's good. That's really good. And you get what I mean about going back in time, right? When you walk through those doors, not even when you walk through the doors, but as you're driving up, you take this long drive through the woods, through these totem poles and stuff. And
tiki
it's
torches. Yeah. Somebody just texted totem poles.
Yeah, there's also
really?
Totem. Yeah, they have those too.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The ambiance outside and inside is just amazing. And I love it.
Good.
Thank you, Debbie. Yeah, somebody texted us. We appreciate your call, Debbie. 630 says, do they still have that long drive to Ishnala with the tiki torches in the trees? My sister and I would order kitty cocktails, and after dinner, my parents and my aunt would order grasshoppers.
Oh, yeah. They're still flowing. Well, I do remember, like, when I was a kid, as we were driving through, because you get off the main drag a little bit, and then there's a sign for it, and then you just drive, and you're getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the woods. And I remember my dad going, There's going to be nothing there when we get there. This is a joke. There's nothing there.
He's not half positive, is he?
No, he's not. He's about 20% positive. So then finally, you know, you get closer and closer, and there it is.
You heard the angels sing when you arrived?
They all sang. It was so, I love it.
I had a similar recollection. Our private beach club that we belonged to, my family, my dad was a volunteer fireman in Brookfield. And it was related to firemen. Mm-hmm. And so, my family went before I was even born. And so I, of course, kept the tradition. We bring our kids there. And the first time I took Jimmy Mack there, I'm like, oh my God, this place. It's like Disneyland. It's unbelievable. There are slides and there are diving boards. And boy, you could take a shower there and, you know, a picnic lunch, or there's a little food stand. And the first time I brought him there, we pulled up and he's like, this is it?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, yeah.
Did
and
you
I kind
oversell
of,
it, or did it just not
I
hold
kind
up
of
over
oversold
the years?
It.
Oh, you did.
And, you know, it's just those memories you have.
Yeah.
But now we still enjoy it. But that's why I'm kind of surprised Ishnala lived up to your little kid vision. Because to a little kid, you said you were 4 years old or something?
I was seven the first time.
A seven-year-old kid imagines this terrific thing, and then usually, you know, in little kid eyes, it's bigger than it really is. So I'm glad that wasn't disappointing to you.
I remember as a kid, like my brother and I would talk about it for years after, and I'd go, remember there were trees like that they didn't take out when they built the restaurant? They just let the tree grow through the restaurant. And we're like, yeah. And then like the more I thought about it, I went, oh, I must have been imagining that. That's not real. No, there's trees growing through the base of the restaurant.
That is so cool.
Yeah, I know.
I almost feel like when we did the ant trip to the Wisconsin Dells. Yeah, because the tree through the floor is ringing a bell.
This is wishful thinking here.
Why do you say that?
Because you just want to have been there so badly, Wendy. Now you're starting to
create memories. No, I remember, but I bet you there's a bunch of different places.
There's a couple places in Wisconsin that have that feature.
Yeah, so maybe it wasn't there. We didn't do a supper club.
I don't have a zoot suit.
There are, right, Steve?
I think so, yeah.
Because there must have been a Wisconsin state law at some point that you can't take it. You cannot remove a tree to build a restaurant, because a lot of restaurants in Wisconsin, for some reason, have that.
The trees aren't protected, but the deer stands in the trees are protected.
Those are.
Right.
All right, now maybe I'm confusing this with my old boyfriend's summer home in Fontana, because they had an outdoor deck and a tree went through their deck.
That could be.
Kind of confusing a few things. Had some good meals there, things.
That's all that counts. That's it. All right. We'll do this. We'll take a break, and then we'll discuss many other things. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. Our number is 312-981-7200. Should you want to reach us, you can either text us there or call us there. I didn't think I'd ever start out a segment with these words, but here goes. People are mad at Liev Schreiber.
Why?
It's really none of your business, Wendy.
All right. Thanks for sharing.
In other news, all right, here's why. Liev Schreiber, who is an accomplished actor, I guess probably Ray Donovan would be the thing.
Oh, yeah. That looks really good.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but it does look good.
He's a hard ass.
Yeah.
Big time.
He was married to Naomi Watts
until recently. She is crazy on Twin Peaks. She's a really great actress.
I like Naomi Watts.
Me too.
What else would people know about him? He's not one to smile often.
Yeah, he looks
very sparing.
Bound up.
That's a perfect.
Send him some healthy Trinity.
That's a perfect. Yeah, you should definitely send him some. Although, in reading this story, one of the photographs of him has him smiling, and I thought, if I was a collector of rare photographs, I would make a mint with this picture, because you don't, even when you tickle Liev Schreiber, and I have, he doesn't really laugh or smile. He just kind of gives you a knowing acknowledgement, you know, like, all right, you're tickling me. I get it. And that's it. That's all you get. So why are people mad at Liev Schreiber?
Great question.
Here's why. As you know, the San Diego Comic-Con, which is the nation's biggest comic book convention, was held this past weekend in San Diego.
It was big, yeah.
It's the biggest of the big. It doesn't get any bigger than this. And Liev Schreiber attended it with his son, his young son, who's 8 years old. And his son decided he wanted to dress as one of his comic book heroes, which is commonplace at the San Diego Comic-Con or any Comic-Con. There's a good percentage of people who dress like Spider-Man or Batman or Aquaman.
I don't have it in me to do that.
It's really a gathering of all the people I don't want to be around.
But just the love of this, and I will say this, Jimmy Mack
dress like an Ewok when he goes to these.
The only time he wore anything Star Wars was probably, you know, one of those plastic Halloween costumes he got when he was probably 6 years old.
Well, yeah. That's...
Okay, so he doesn't dress up. But when we go to Comic-Cons and we see people, it hurts no one, man. It hurts no one.
I've been with Jimmy twice at these conventions, and when he sees people, he gets so excited. And I've had to explain to him,
they're not real.
That's not really the Green Goblin. It's a guy dressed as the Green Goblin, because he wants his picture taken, and he gets all wiry. He gets excited.
It's pretty exciting. I mean, when I saw Wolverine one time, it wasn't really Wolverine,
right?
But boy, did he have a nice six pack, man, and no shirt on. And I posed for a picture with him, and it's fun. You're there for that reason.
Now, I saw a Wolverine once, and it was a heavier set guy, and I thought it was Wolverine's brother Fulverine, but I guess such a character does not exist.
When did you write that one?
Thursday.
All right, good job.
Liev Schreiber brought his son to the San Diego Comic-Con, and his son, like I said, decided to dress like one of his favorite comic book heroes.
Who was
Harley Quinn, who, if people don't know, is a villainess from Batman.
She's pretty cool.
She's very cool. She's related to the Joker somehow. Like his girlfriend or his niece or something. I don't remember how.
I just know Kevin Smith named his daughter that.
Yeah, yeah.
In honor of her.
So now people are up in arms because they say, good move bringing your kid to the San Diego Comic-Con. That's a fun event for a father and son. But how in the world could you let your boy dress up like a female villainess?
Oh, my God. First of all, this just irritates the heck out of me, because who cares?
Who cares is right.
People who dress up, say, as Wolverine, as I mentioned, guess what? They're not really Wolverine.
Right.
Can't, it's dress right. up. Can't you do what you want? What is wrong with people?
I don't know.
And if he wants to dress up as a girl character, big whoop.
Right.
It's because it was a girl character?
Yes.
Yes. Isn't that just disgusting?
And there's pictures. His son's name is Sasha. And I think I said 8. He's 9. I apologize. Sasha, there are pictures of Sasha online dressed as Harley Quinn. And he does look like a girl.
So what?
Because Harley Quinn is a girl.
Yeah, that's...
But everybody's ragging on Liev Schreiber, going, how irresponsible.
Who's the everyone?
Yeah,
not certainly
people?
Not the people there.
Not the people there.
These are fans of his?
These are...
So-called fans?
Not even necessarily fans of his.
Social media just went against him?
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna start. You know how you do spanking machines for people's birthday? I want to do a slapping machine. I really have had it with people. What does it affect them what Liev Schreiber does with his kid?
Of course.
It's none of their business. And in fact, if I can just say, remember Donald Logue, it was in a bunch of sitcoms. I actually liked his show, Grounded for Life.
He's on Gotham right now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I don't watch that.
He's been in a lot of stuff over there.
I guess son ran away or was missing, and that's how it was reported at first. His son was missing.
Right.
And then it said his child, because I guess his son...
Transgender.
Yes.
Born a boy, transitioning to a girl.
Born Arlo, changed her name to Jade.
Right.
And, you know... In a way, he made it seem like that's kind of why she left.
Right.
Because... people don't accept it.
Yeah.
And it's like everybody's got to mind their own business or go through my slapping machine.
When will this slapping machine
be set up and
where? I
don't know, and I don't know where to put it.
Oh.
I'm going to put it right in front of Abe Lincoln.
Put it by Abe Lincoln and Pioneer
Court.
Outside.
I mean, just mind your own stinking business, everybody.
The San Diego Comic-Con is an annual celebrity fest. One such notable, Liev Schreiber, was in attendance, partly to promote, but also to parent, it says here. Schreiber took his young sons to the entertainment spectacle this year. Both of them were in costume. I mixed this up a little bit. I was right the first time. His son is 8 years old, who was dressed like Harley Quinn. His oldest son, Sasha, was dressed as a Jedi, which would make your husband very excited if he saw this. He would be very thrilled.
Keep him out of the Comic-Con.
And his youngest 8-year-old son, Kai, was dressed as the unfettered persona of Harley Quinn. As one would quickly assume, the child's costume choice and the parents' willingness to let him go as he pleased inspired a fair amount of commentary in some circles online. One such person said this, Liev Schreiber is an awesome dad for this. And then he signaled that it would be a heart, one of those emojis that the kids like to play with. Another said, he looks amazing.
He does look amazing. I'm looking at the picture.
It's a very
yeah.
convincing costume. I wouldn't mess with that kid.
You know, if you dress like a girl, does that make you a girl? Because maybe I should start dressing like a girl.
Would you start dressing like Harley Quinn every day? I'd be all right with that. And I know the makeup would take longer. You can come in a few minutes later. It'd be worth it.
But seriously.
Guests would come in and they go...
You would love
is that.
That
Harley Quinn sitting
no,
over there?
No, it's just Wendy.
No, it's James Spader. What are you talking about?
Well, she thinks so.
I dressed up as a boy when I was younger. I'd dress up as G.I. Joe or
but
something.
Don't you think...
It didn't make me gay.
No, of course not. Don't you think, though, that society is much more willing to let a girl dressed in boy's attire for an event like this, but if it's flip-flopped, uh-oh.
Yeah, but I feel like, hey, isn't it 2017? I don't know the last time I checked my calendar pages.
Yeah.
But you'd think, yes, it was more acceptable. But at this point, again, you're dressing up.
Right, right. That's the whole, that's the game, right? Another person said, I knew there was a reason that I liked this guy. What an awesome dad and human being. But some other observers found a few things to complain about. Here's one. Cosplaying as a female character is one thing, but wearing a slutty outfit of a movie character that isn't even age appropriate is another, in all caps, thing. this woman's very upset.
Well, she's trying to make it seem like that, but I think she's bothered by the dressing as a female.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Because there are ripped pantyhose, you know, ripped fishnets.
People should know this. There's a couple of different versions of Harley Quinn. There's the one that was in Suicide Squad, which his son decided to dress with, like, that version. And then there's one that just kind of looks like, you know, the symbol that's like on Harlequin books, that's kind of like a jester type of a clown.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the more traditional Harley Quinn. The new one is more, his son dressed like the more...
jestery one?
No, like the Suicide Squad version.
Okay, but how is that sexy? Chuck Taylor Converse high tops. That's not sexy. They're not high heels. Ripped pantyhose.
I think it's because
there's
of
no
the,
cleavage.
The fishnet with the holes. I think that's what...
Raise your own kids, people. Don't raise other people's.
There is a growing movement in society to more frequently allow for boys to dress in costumes and play with toys that might have traditionally been more associated with girls and vice versa. Given how much discussion happens when public figures engage in less gender-specific practices, though, it's clear that there's a ways to go before it becomes non-conversational. That's what Liev Schreiber is experiencing now. Schreiber shares custody of his sons with actress Naomi Watts. The couple split up in 2016 after an 11-year relationship. They've both been very public about their commitment to co-parenting. We're parenting together, so we'll be together for the rest of our lives no matter what. Schreiber was quoted as saying just late last year. Hopefully that never changes, and I don't think it will. So what if Naomi Watts is not on board with this? And I don't know if she is or if she isn't. If she is, then you don't have a problem because both parents go, well, there's no issue here. He chose the costume. He's wearing the costume. But what if she gets upset about this and goes, look, his dad takes him to this comic book show and dresses him like a girl? Then you have an issue, don't you?
Yeah, but that's between them. Again, it's not for us to get involved in.
Right.
I'm sure she's cool with it. She seems, you know, pretty not very
modern.
Uptight.
Yeah.
You know? And again, there are people who are divorced who kids get away with things differently with each parent, too.
Right.
So
I went to a comic convention dressed as Liev Schreiber's smile, and nobody knew who I was because they had never seen it before. They just stared at me like you're doing now. All right, let's
There's
do this.
There's a lovely picture of the two of them, Naomi Watts and Liev.
Oh, he's
and
smiling in
yes,
this picture.
A little bit. A little bit, Bill.
He's kind of smiling. The one, I'll show you the picture I found last night. He's got a huge grin, and even my computer was like, I don't know what to do with this. I've never seen this.
I thought it was a virus.
Right.
That's the virus, Liev's smile. Not want to cry, it's Liev's smile.
Want to smile.
And it's not Liev. I always called them
Liev.
All right.
L-I-E-V.
Like Chicken Kiev, but with an L.
An anagram of evil.
Is that what he says?
I said it. That's how I justified him never smiling. I go, there must be something to this guy because he just does not smile. What's up with this? All right, we'll take a quick break if you want to jump in on this. What do you think? Is it wrong for a dad to let his son go to a comic book show dressed as a female character? Liev Schreiber is feeling some heat on it. What are your thoughts? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Liev Schreiber, besides the fact that he doesn't smile.
He doesn't like to smile a lot, Wendy, and he's not smiling this weekend because people are criticizing him. He took his two boys to Comic-Con in San Diego. One of them, his youngest son, Kai, he's 8 years old, he decided to dress like his favorite comic book character, Harley Quinn, who happens to be a female. So people are criticizing Liev Schreiber's parenting skills, saying, what are you doing taking your kid to a comic book show and dressing him like a girl? You don't do that.
Got to bring back this, or bring back. I have to originate the slapping machine.
Yeah.
Is this Kirsten?
This is.
Hi, Kirsten.
Hi. I just wanted to say, well, first of all, thank you for having this conversation. And second, you know, Wendy, I totally agree with you that, you know, your parents is, you know, your kid, your business. If they're not hurting anybody, let them do what they want. You know, let them be themselves. I think that there's, you know, too many people who criticize and make people feel bad for being who they want to be these days.
Agreed.
And, you know, Bill had brought up the point, what if one parent agrees and one parent doesn't? I told Kevin, we're actually going through that in my household right now. I have two boys, 7 and 3, and my older one, whenever I give myself a pedicure, likes me to paint his nails, too.
Oh.
And my husband hates it.
Oh.
But what we're trying to do is, he doesn't want my son to get teased. And I'm trying to teach my son, you know what, if you like it, you're not hurting anybody, be who you are. And so he'll let me, you know, he'll ask me to paint his nails, but like if we're going somewhere, he'll just want his toenails so he can, you know, cover them up so he knows that it's there, but he's not going to get teased for it. So we're trying to, you know, kind of work through, you know, letting him do what he likes and realizing that it's okay. And if other people tease you, that's something that we've, you know, got to address. But if you're not hurting anybody, then it's not a big deal. Do what you want.
But the hardest part there, Kirsten, is I'm guessing the fact that you and your husband are kind of on different sides of the coin on this, right?
We are. And we have conversations alone without, you know, without the kids present about it. And, you know, I feel very strongly one way. And my husband, you know, he feels, again, his biggest issue is he doesn't want our son getting teased. And so we're trying to kind of navigate that road where.
But that's what makes it the toughest is you're both right. I mean, you're both right in this.
And, you know, that's what's so sad is letting, is this your 7-year-old, you said?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is letting a kid show their individuality. I mean, I was always a little different than everyone else. And there are other people that are like that, too, and get teased for it. But then when you get older, you really embrace your originality. But, boy, in those elementary school years and high school, it's really difficult. And I think it's getting worse instead of better.
I agree. I'm a middle school teacher, and it's I really when I see a kid who feels free to express themselves, I just my heart goes out to them because I know it's not easy to do at that age, and it's amazing to see when kids are able to do that.
Middle school is the most uncomfortable time. I have one who just finished middle school, and I can't wait for him to start high school in the fall because it's I don't remember junior high being that difficult, but I see it now, and it's like the most awkward phase of anyone's life, it seems.
It is. You want to fit in, but you want to be yourself, and it's tough.
But you know what? In a weird way, that's why an event like this San Diego Comic-Con is good for kids and some older people, too, because all of a sudden they're with their peers who are very, very accepting of this kind of thing. And if this was kind of a closeted behavior, all of a sudden it's very accepted, you know?
That's a great point.
Yes, it is, and it is being talked about, and that you guys are talking about it. You know, the more we talk about it, hopefully the more accepting people will be.
I hope so.
There is no owner's manual for kids, and honest to God, I could use one, and we all could at some points.
Definitely.
You love them, you try your best, and really, don't judge other parents because you don't know what's going on in their house.
Amen.
Thanks, you, Kirsten.
Take care.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right.
That was a totally great point. Like, you know, it's the Comic-Cons weren't around when we were going through high school. I mean,
right.
And I knew some kids, I guess they call them emo now or goth, you know, where they had the really black hair and the white makeup. And people teased those kids a lot back then. But now, go to Comic-Con, go somewhere else.
Right.
And then you can really express your
name.
You're a genius.
Oh, well, no, but thanks.
Every once in a while, you get a good one.
Thank you very much for that.
And what's wrong with guys dressing up as girls? Demetria, how are you?
Yeah, no, okay today, thanks. Yeah, little children love to dress up in grown-up clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that 50 to 100 years ago, if a little kid put on his mom's hat and high heels, people might say, don't do that or don't go out like that, but they would let them play. And was Milton Berle, who was reputed to be a great Lothario in California, dressing up like a woman on his TV show every week, did not hurt his masculinity. What about Flip Wilson? What about Cary Grant and bringing up Baby?
Right.
Did wearing a lady's robe as a costume impede his masculinity? I don't think
Not even a little bit. Johnny Carson, Jonathan Winters, on and on.
Can I tell you, though, Milton Berle made for a pretty unattractive woman. I got Flip Wilson was pretty.
But it's
Geraldine.
Got nothing to do with that. We're talking about the fact that if you dress like a woman, and let's not forget, Scotsmen wear kilts. People in India and Pakistan wear dhotis, which are wraparound skirts, sarongs. Come on. These people either don't have children or they've got other psychological problems for coming down on it because people, including children, like to dress up in costumes now and then. That's part of the human experience to try to once in a while look like you're someone or something you're not. That's that's ingrained in every culture you'll
absolutely.
Ever study.
You're absolutely right, Demetrio. We appreciate you calling. And real quickly before we take a break, Karen, jump in.
I just wanted to say my son was about 18 months old when he figured out that he loved everything that was girls.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was 5, he wanted to be Cinderella, and I made him a Cinderella costume. And he's 17 now, and I believe he's transitioning to be transgender. We just don't put words to it. He just loves everything that's girly and pink and pretty, and my husband's okay with it. But he figured out really quick, without me saying anything, that people might tease him. So when I made him Cinderella, he went as Cinderella for trick-or-treating. But at school, he got a different costume.
He did. Karen,
that was smart of him.
That was very smart of him. You said your husband's okay with it. Was he always okay
sure.
with it when he was 5?
Yeah.
And he was. Good, okay.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it was just so evident from the time he was a baby. You know, he just, that's what he gravitated towards. And we just don't put a name to it. We just let him just be who he is and... he walks around sometimes a little too trashy for my taste.
Doesn't
but,
he? Yeah. Well,
I mean, the fishnet stockings, I don't know.
That's the
my
that's
mom used
the
to say that to me, too. I look like a gun mall.
You're handling it well, and that's important. I'm so glad you are.
Thank you so much for the call, Karen. Good luck with everything. Somebody says my 3-year-old loves his tutu and girly stuff, and if he keeps it up, I'm just going to make him take martial arts so he can protect himself.
Oh. All right.
That's a good answer.
That's a very good answer. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then a lot more. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Thank you, Steve. You might want to stick around. Steve Bertrand, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder. And a new way to eat lunch is happening out and about. Why don't you tell the story of you used to go to a place that... change their lunch menu every day.
Yeah, across the street at Nordstrom, there's a shopping center, and there's a food court there. And I used to go to the food court fairly regularly for lunch here. And then all of a sudden, they started what they called a pop-up concept, where every day it was a different restaurant that emanated from the Chicagoland area. And I loved it because I never knew what was coming from day to day. There was a way to look up the schedule, but I wanted to be surprised every day. And 19 times out of 20, I was thrilled with it because it was all these places I had heard of and some I hadn't heard of that I got to sample. And because of it, I would sometimes go to their full-on restaurants. But it was just such a nice surprise every day to go to this restaurant that changed every single day.
And that's when we used to have an hour-long break for lunch. So you went there every day.
Yeah.
And the minute that our break went away, this particular pop-up place came to the Tribune Tower in the cafeteria.
Right. It worked out nicely, didn't it?
Not for us.
Not for us, but for others.
It's called Fooda. And the founder and CEO of Fooda, Orazio Buza. Is that correct?
That is.
Welcome. You have made Bill's life for the past year plus.
Yeah.
And I've been a little jealous looking at all the different things he'd come back with every day.
Great. Another happy customer.
A thrilled customer. How'd you come up with this idea? This is genius.
Yeah. So about 7-8 years ago, I was at a company here in Chicago called Echo Global Logistics.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd had a food program there running for about 3-4 years. As an internal program, it was run by a couple of our employees would invite local restaurants to come in and sell food to our employees. And it became one of our most popular perks. And then sometime around the summer of 2010, we started getting complaints that the lines were getting too long. And I was just, you know, on the management team.
Yeah.
And I was in a management meeting, and that was brought up that the lines are getting too long. The employees were complaining that other people that didn't work at our company were walking through our lobby and using the food program. and so, you know, I didn't really think much of it at the time. And a couple weeks later, I was literally laying in bed thinking about, you know, I'm a startup guy and I've done several startup businesses in the past. And I was thinking about, you know, doing something new. And I was already in the process of transitioning out of my role at Echo. And I thought, you know, I've always wanted to own a restaurant.
Yeah.
But I don't know the first thing about running a restaurant. What I do know about is what people like to eat at work. And and I thought, well, you have this program here that's running that I have nothing to do with, but maybe I could take that concept and make a business out of it. And I thought, you know, if I go to a bunch of companies you know, that are roughly the same size, you know, that have lots of people in a location, wouldn't restaurants love to go there? You know, you have a captive audience that is looking to get something that's tasty, quick and easy. You know, there's a whole trend of people eating healthier, you know, buying local. And I thought I could piggyback off that. And so about maybe 6 months later, started Fooda.
That's all it took was 6 months for the this up and then pull
it absolutely off. From day one, and you know, it was probably even less than that. It's probably 4 months from the time, you know, had the concept to actually launch the business.
It takes me 4 months to decide what I'm going to have for lunch.
All right, there's an app you can get, a Fooda app. I also subscribe to the emails. So Garifuna Flava is in the Tribune Tower today.
It's Garifuna Flava.
Said,
Wendy. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And that's jerk chicken, plantains, some stewed chicken. This is what kind of food
is this? It's Caribbean.
It's
Caribbean food. It's a family-owned business from the southwest side of Chicago.
They have ting, don't they?
I don't know.
They do.
That's the grape.
Everything going to be all right, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
That's the carbonated
what is
grape.
Ting?
It's so good. It's like,
there you go.
Remember 50-50 from Canfield?
Yeah.
It tastes like that, or Squirt. It's like a grapefruit-based beverage. Very good stuff.
I may go get some. Yeah. Now, how many locations do you have, Fooda? Because I know Tribune Tower, Nordstrom Building down here on Michigan Avenue. Mm-hmm. Where else?
Yeah, so we, you know, our business is split about 50-50 between inside corporations, so you know, companies like Groupon, United Airlines, Northern Trust here in Chicago, and then other lobby programs like the Tribune Tower here. We have the Willis Tower, Hancock Building, and others. But in the Chicagoland area, we have about 250 customers.
Wow!
So
that's a lot. Yeah, in a very short span of time.
And then we operate in 10 geographic cities. So 10 large.
You're a genius. Areas. You know this.
Yeah.
You pulled this off very quickly. This is the kind of thing that usually takes decades to make happen.
Yeah, well, we've been around now 6.5 years.
Oh, have you?
So, yeah.
But see, until it comes to your building or until you found it with Nordstrom, you don't. So
exactly.
We're here to let people know. And what if there's a restaurant out there? You said this Garifuna Flava. Flava Flav is from the southwest side. What if there's a restaurant, a family restaurant or somewhere that wants to participate in the Fooda program? Do they reach out to you?
Yeah, we have a team of people here in Chicago that are constantly scouring, you know, lists of, you know, great restaurants. And so, you know, we reach out. That's the main way we get restaurants, but also it goes the other way too. If a restaurant, you know, hears about Fooda, they could reach out to us. You can go to our website and there's a page that explains what it takes to be in our network as a restaurant. And there's a lot of people that move around from restaurant to restaurant, and that's how they hear about Fooda and then join.
How do you figure out the scheduling? Because I noticed, like, it's very rarely 2 or 3 days anything similar. It's not Mexican food into Mexican food or Caribbean into Caribbean. It's always varied.
Right. So so we have an algorithm that we use that, you know, there's two things going on. One is on the customer side, we want to make sure that each site doesn't get the same restaurant more than once every 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes.
Roughly. Some of them might go a little bit more frequently if they're loved, you know, at that location.
Yeah.
And but then the other side is, you know, the restaurants have a capacity. So we have to find out and make sure that we're taking care of, you know, the number of days that a restaurant can go. And so when we match those two up, you know, we get a schedule.
It's the algorithm method, Wendy.
Yes.
Yeah, everything's done by an algorithm now. I wish that when I was in high school, my cafeteria would have participated in this.
Well, this is funny you say that because I was going to suggest to you you should sell this to schools.
So we really early on when we came up with the concept, we started looking at everything. You know, elementary schools, high schools,
hospitals.
I
want to work with you,
Horacio. But you know, so we decided to focus primarily on, you know, while people are at work.
Yeah.
You need to start somewhere. I think in the long run, this concept can, you know, work in all kinds of sectors. We have done some schools. But we've stayed primarily on the business side. Hospitals are a growing area for us.
Yeah, I bet.
So, you know, anytime you have, you know, an audience that's captive in a location and you don't want them to have, you know, the same old thing over and over again, it gives them a chance to have variety and super convenient way to get food.
You don't have to go too inside if you don't want to, but the situation here at Tribune Tower is they had the same cafeteria restaurant for years and years and years. Did you come to them and say, I can do this better? Or did they come to you and say, the restaurant that's in there is leaving? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know the full story, but my understanding is it was probably they came to us. I mean, we've called on just about every, you know, property manager and company. And, you know, we're known at this point as a food service, you know, for people are at work. But I think what happened here specifically was something internal related to at some point they made a decision that they needed to go away from their current solution.
Could you do this at my house?
I was just going to ask that, Bill. God, we're thinking alike today. But you do like catered meetings and things, right?
We do. So, catering is we do everything from meetings and events to there's a lot of companies now, more and more are either subsidizing or paying for their employees' food. So we consider that part of our catering program when the company's making a decision to bring, you know, food in on a regular basis. So here in Chicago, you get a lot of trading firms that will pay for their employees' food because the traders have to be working, you know, during the lunch hour. Some tech companies pay for their employees' food or heavily subsidize it.
Right.
So that's a big part of our business as well. So, but whether employees are paying for it or the company, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Why don't you go get Todd Manley's credit card and he can buy us lunch every day.
All right, let's do that.
Just such a good idea, though. You know, again, we're in radio. We usually do a shift and leave and sometimes don't have to worry about having lunch downtown. Last year, we were having lunch every day, and I kept thinking, you know, how can you eat this big lunch and then go back to work and everything? But people who work down here every day have to eat lunch, and they want something different. So I just have to commend you on what a great job you're doing
Fooda.
If anybody's listening and you have a building or you have a cafeteria, just any kind of business, do they contact you saying, we want Fooda in our place?
Absolutely. So we target customers that have more than 500 people in a location. So it's, you know, mid-size to larger size companies, and then property managers that are actually managing, you know, an entire building.
Is it always lunch or is it sometimes dinner places
We do some dinner stuff, but it's primarily lunch. It's, you know, probably 95% lunch.
Where'd the name come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I know you guys were making fun of it.
Oh, you weren't supposed to hear about that.
We're having lunch. Who knows what it'll be? Fooda. Yeah. Wendy did that. I have nothing to do with that. That was not me.
We just kind of stumbled upon it. And then, you know, it rhymes with my name, you know, Fooda, you know, and we just thought it was a fun name.
Yeah, I like
it's
that.
It's easy to remember. It's unique. And then if you've seen our logo, I think when you look at our logo with the name, it's just a unique word.
Yeah. I know that the restaurants who come in have a more limited menu than if you went to their restaurants. But I have to say, I was never disappointed when I'd go to the Nordstrom building, because even though it was a limited menu, it was always a nice variety of the different things that they would serve. So
absolutely. So, you know, all restaurants that we work with, we want to make sure they bring a variety, right? So usually there's 3 to 5 entrees, a couple sides. We'll make sure there's a vegetarian selection, you know, a salad if it makes sense for that cuisine. We'll make sure that there's some kind of salad offering. So, you know, by having that, you can apply it. You have something that the masses, you know, can choose from.
It's just such a great idea. It's like, you know, these restaurants can come in and out. The equipment's already there. They can just bring their stuff to prepare. Genius. Orazio Buza, rhymes with Fooda, sort of. Founder and CEO of Fooda, Kristen Bradley is here, marketing coordinator for Fooda. You can go to Fooda.com, get their app, sign up for emails. Quick break. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, we're talking Fooda. It's a great name for a great company.
Told you. I told you.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
Orazio Buza, founder and CEO of Fooda. We were just talking off the air. Any locations, first of all, in the suburbs?
Yep. So, yeah, we operate in the Chicago suburbs as well. So, really anywhere in the metro area.
And, Bill, a comment that Orazio made, we wondered how many locations you have here in the city.
Right.
And you said,
So in the metro area, we have, you know, between all of our customers, you know, it's over 300. But just here in the Loop, we have more locations than there are Starbucks.
That's amazing.
That shocks me.
That's amazing. So if a restaurant signs on with you, and I don't know what that procedure is like, but if they become part of the fold for Fooda, you could keep them busy all year round.
Oh, our goal
you?
Is to keep the restaurant busy 5 days a week. So
excellent.
So they'll, you know, assign a crew and they go from site to site, and every day they're at a different site.
Yeah. Yep. Like a traveling team,
exactly.
Essentially.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, really, get the app or at least subscribe to the emails because it is so different every day. I think last week Chick-fil-A was out here. There are some great Mediterranean restaurants that are here. There was some Italian thing. So really, every day you can have something different. And I was thinking, you know, we talked briefly and you looked like you didn't want to talk about it, but schools and hospitals maybe. Mm-hmm. What about like senior living centers? This is something that would be amazing for them.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you start getting outside of the core, you know, corporate space, it just depends on people's budgets. And
yeah.
And there's also dietary restrictions and things like
that's
that
true.
That you have to be concerned about with schools. That, you know, when you have that many different restaurants going in, we are concerned about liability issues with allergies, you know, et cetera. Same thing with hospitals. We're doing more the employees and the guests of the hospital. There's obviously food service that takes care of the patients.
You can do like
I know we
like an IV version of all the different
exactly,
restaurants.
Exactly, exactly. It's a different color bag every day.
That's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. Have you ever tried a restaurant that's so exotic? Because I know I used to go to the one across the street and it'd be food from all around the world. And sometimes you'd see people look up and they'd go, I don't know what Nepalese food is like, right. So I don't know what to do. Have you had some that are so exotic that it just didn't work? No?
The menu board explains it pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, we're providing food that people want to buy.
Yeah.
And so in a city like Chicago that has – you know, it's very multicultural, you know, lots of different tastes. A lot of things work well. I could tell you in other cities, you know, the menu might be a little bit more muted.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what the tastes are.
We're more sophisticated here in Chicago, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
What was that egg roll place that was here, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago? Because remember I was telling you about it? They put different things into your typical egg roll.
Oh, that sounds good.
Do you remember what?
I think it's called Twisted Egg Roll.
Yes, yes, yes. That was it. Like, it's not just your typical egg roll fixins. There were interesting things in there. And I told you about it, and you're like, that sounds so good.
Well, yeah. One of the things that we figured out early on was we had a lot of people at the company that, you know, have come from restaurant backgrounds, some executive chefs, and you can't hire enough executive chefs to sit in a room and come up with all these different concepts. When you crowdsource your menus, which essentially is what we're doing, you know, we're working with over 1,000 restaurants across the country. They're way more creative, and the food is way better than anything a single company can come up
right.
with. So we don't try to do it. We try to let the market tell us what they want to eat and what's hot, as opposed to trying to sit in a lab and figure it out.
Right. That's the right. You're doing it the right way. Well, you know that.
Orazio Buza, founder and CEO of Fooda, and Kristen Bradley here as well, marketing coordinator, although not going on the air.
Kristen, let somebody else talk for a minute. Impossible.
And somebody, and I guess we did not do this. Please spell Fooda for the listeners.
It's Fooda.
Fooda, exactly like it sounds.
Right. Teachers are listening, going capital Fooda. Right. Just so you know, where will this be in 5 or 10 years?
Our goal is to be in every metropolitan area, all the large, you know, top 50 cities in the U.S. That's our goal. And so right now we're just in an expansion mode.
Are you – your stock, is it owned privately or is it up for –
Yeah, we're privately held. Oh. We're venture capital backed.
Yeah.
So
I don't even know what that means.
That means you and I can't buy shares of it and profit off of this.
We have institutional investors that invested in Fooda early on.
Well, it's a great idea, and it's helping a lot of people. Again, I just didn't understand why people would want to go and have a big lunch because I would not be productive in the last part of the afternoon if you go get a good lunch. But these are, you know, you can get some smaller portions if you want. That's what I like about this.
Yeah,
right.
You can get the big old order.
The idea is they have the menus be flexible so that you know, you're not, you know, in a food coma every day.
Right.
And I know this is a silly question, but I'm curious. You're enjoying this, aren't you? You like doing this?
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely, yeah. Good. I mean, who wouldn't, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, being around awesome restaurants all day and making people happy at work.
Yep.
So yeah. it's a fun job.
If you need any taste testers, Bill and I would like
to
volunteer our services.
Start today.
Absolutely.
All right. Start today. Go to Fooda.com, download the app, and sign up for the email list. You can put in the location that you're closest to, and you'll get all this information. And a variety is the spice of life, and variety is Fooda.
Thanks, Orazio.
All right,
great meeting you. We'll take a quick break. We've got news, and then Eric Zorn joins us. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune will be joining us momentarily. But first, while we wait for Eric Zorn, Wendy, I know that you're a fan of the singing of the national anthem at baseball games. Did you happen to hear Ice Cube sing the national anthem at the Cubs game the other day?
Why didn't he rap it?
I don't. Well, because if he did, people would have said, you don't rap the national anthem. What are you doing, Ice Cube? You can't be rapping the national anthem. He sang the national anthem, and
is
when
that
I
what
say sing, I say that loosely. It was one of the worst renditions I've ever heard. And Terry's in the car with me, and she goes, "Who is this?" And I go, "It's Ice Cube." And she goes, "He's a singer, isn't he?"
Something. Listen,
it's a difficult song.
It's not. It is not. The Star Spangled Banner is a.
The seventh inning stretch is a difficult song.
No, it isn't.
You don't think?
Take Me Out to the Ball Game. You could do it right now. What I think it is you're not hearing. The organ, as you're like, you're not hearing it right or something.
Because
he sped up for a while.
There might be a slight delay when you're hearing it. You're right. There's something about the song and being in a ballpark that there's, even if it's a half a second delay, it's problematic.
It screws everything up.
Right.
But it's not a hard song to sing.
But he was off key. Like
from
throughout,
no one.
From the beginning on, there was never a time where he was on key. And if you're a rapper, if you're a singer, you go, you find the key eventually, don't you? But he didn't.
He should have rapped it.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
You don't think, Kim, people would have been on him for that?
I don't know. It might have been kind of cool. It's
the seventh inning.
It's Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
It's not the,
it's
you
not
know.
Right. It's, I know.
It's just a song. It's
I
not
it.
Like
disrespectful
it's,
to
right.
America.
Abner Doubleday.
I think it would have been cool. Harry Carey would have loved it.
Maybe. All right.
Harry tried to rap it a few times.
Hey. All right. Eric Zorn. Is that how you pronounce it, Eric? I'm sorry.
That's how you say it.
I'm
yeah.
sorry.
What's all this food here?
There's a lot. We just had the people on from FUTA. That's the people who operate what used to be our cafeteria.
Sergeant Bilko's is no more.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. What's... Wow.
Today it's from a place that I can't remember.
There's a few different restaurants
it's
that
jerk
contributed.
Chicken.
Yeah.
They brought a lot of things in.
You can have
it. Today's
nice.
Restaurant is Garifuna Flava, and it's Caribbean jerk chicken, plantains, things like that.
And cake balls, too, for dessert. Don't
is
fill
that
up.
Caribbean?
No, I don't know where it's from, but it's
box
so good.
Box of donuts here? It's
so
terrific.
Good. Yeah, it's like heaven. It's just like heaven.
Man,
how are you? Everything good?
Radio business. You guys do all right.
Yep,
with the
no
food.
Complaints.
I mean, I know they don't pay you, but you know, I mean, right. The food is nice, right?
Right. There's other perks.
Are you not prepared?
Besides money.
Me, I'm looking for my pen. I'm looking for a pen.
Here's a pen. Here.
I found one. See, I'm semi-prepared.
But. You wanted to talk a little bit about swearing. Am I right?
I did. There was a really funny reference in yesterday's story about Governor Rauner. He referred to himself as a son of a beach ball.
Mm-hmm.
I've used that term.
Have you? And
in third grade.
Last week I was writing a column and I referred to Rauner and Madigan as, you know, stubborn SOBs.
Mm-hmm.
This did not fly with the editors. They said, no, we can't use that term.
SOB is
S-O-B.
Not.
So,
son
I said
of beach
it,
ball.
I said it's a son of a beach ball. What? Why? Are we, mm-hmm. Why can't I abbreviate son of a beach ball? I'm saving space. I'm saving ink. I'm saving this company. A little drop of ink at a time. But no, they wouldn't let SOB in the paper. But son of a beach ball got in. And
would they not allow it because to some the word is still offensive, or would they not allow it because
yeah, why,
it
sure.
was too pointed of an opinion?
It's
to
a,
call
it's
the
a
governor?
Fine line. I actually went and researched it a little bit online, and I realized that we are allowed to use that word, the full word, the word that we're avoiding.
Son of Wendy.
If we're quoting somebody, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
If we're quoting somebody. Mm-hmm. You can say, oh, that Mike Ditka said, you know, and the other, but we can't use the word ourselves, I guess, is the rule.
We can't originate it.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's, I mean, I think the idea of the family newspaper is still there, right? I mean, we're still, and obviously the radio station, too. You guys have the FCC to worry about, although they probably have other fish to fry these days.
Are we allowed to say the word or not allowed to say the word?
I think we can say that word.
Yeah.
We don't usually choose to say it, but I don't think.
It's kind of an offensive term anyway, right?
To some, it would still raise an eyebrow or two.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you can avoid it. And what this got me onto, and I've been interested in this for a while, is just all the different words that people use to avoid swearing,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's, you know, all kinds of ones. The one that kind of got me going on this was a couple of weeks ago. Somebody on Twitter wrote that they said Sarah Huckabee Sanders sounds like something your grandmother would say to avoid swearing.
That's so funny.
She'd drop a pan in the kitchen. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I can't believe I dropped that. So
that's
good. So I've been collecting some of these. I asked people on Facebook to send in some of them. And one of them that came up was someone used to say, just shout, Christopher Morley.
The actor, the British actor?
Yeah, the actor. So this is my mother used to say, Christopher Morley. And then this guy said that his son.
Do you know who that is? He's a very, very obscure British actor. Yeah. He did character roles in the 50s and 60s.
Well, and obviously, she's saying because Christopher is, you know, a form of Christ.
Right.
So that's a way of saying that swear word without saying it. And somebody else sent in Bob Saget.
Kevin, you've heard this?
As a swear word.
Well, it has a little bit of a history that apparently
Dagnabbit, Bob Saget.
Bob Saget. I mean, it's very satisfying to say.
Yeah.
Or it's got those, it's very percussive.
I'd be happy if I was Bob Saget.
But it has a little bit of a strange history in that it goes back to, there's this character online, and maybe that's what Kevin knows about, and I think he's called Tourette's Guy.
Yeah, that's exactly where I know it from.
Yeah, and it's strange because it's unclear whether this man actually has Tourette's or whether he has some other ailments or whether he's just acting, but there's a series of videos, and they're kind of old, right, Kevin? They're not...
Yeah, maybe like early 2000s.
Yeah, early 2000s, and that was the thing. One of the things that he would do, he would get into a state, and he would go Bob Saget.
Hmm.
But I liked it. I started using Sarah Huckabee Sanders on the golf course.
What sort of reaction do you get from your fellow golfers when you do this?
Well, they were into it. They liked it. Yeah. You know? I mean, well, actually, the guys I golf with don't swear that much. It's sort of interesting because most guys on
the
golf course swear all the time.
On the golf course?
On the golf course. Really?
They do it quietly?
No, they don't. But the guy I golf with a lot, when he hits a bad shot, he just goes, like Charlie Brown, he goes, rats.
Rats.
I like that.
Isn't that good?
Very pointed.
I mean, it's good.
Now, one that Bruce Rauner used, Son of a Beach Ball, came about a couple years ago because I heard that and I heard Shut the Front Door at the exact same time. Like whoever invented one probably invented the other.
Shut the Front Door, someone said that it might have come from like the Kids in the Hall. Is that a comedy group?
The first time I heard it, Mark Ruffalo in a movie, his character said it twice. And the first time I'm like, oh, okay. That kind of came and went. But by the second time I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, Shut the Front Door, I think, works. It's because of the first two letters of the expression, right?
And
you're supposed to, and people had sent in some things like, one person said that their mother used to say, oh, sugar honey iced tea.
Wow.
Ever hear that?
No.
By the way, can I just jump in? UrbanDictionary.com says that I got to be careful here. Yeah. Shut the Front Door was originally coined by Buckethead, a DJ at WJRR Radio.
Is this the work of Buckethead?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Buckethead?
Yeah, the Buckethead.
Somebody else sent in Sacramento Boulevard. I like
for
that.
What?
Why?
For you know,
what
you,
is it filling in
your,
for?
You hit your thumb with a hammer. It doesn't fill in for anything. It just sounds like it. Kind of sounds a little bit dirty, doesn't it?
Because you know how anytime there's a swear word, there's a homogenized version of it.
Right, and there's a whole bunch of those, and you know, there's a whole bunch of them based on Jesus Christ, right?
Right.
Like you know, cheeses sliced and
what?
That's what they say
Jesus
in Wisconsin.
Cheese
that's the Wisconsin
and
version of it.
Cheese and rice. People sent in.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Jeezle Peezle. Jeezo Pete. You know,
these are Snoop Dogg swearing.
These are.
At Martha Stewart.
At Martha Stewart.
W.C. Fields used to say Godfrey Daniel.
Yeah, great Godfrey
Daniel.
Great
Godfrey Daniel.
Yeah.
And so one woman said that the nuns in her elementary school busted them for saying, you know, cripes.
Cripes? You're not allowed to say that? Because cripes is, again, a derivative of Christ.
Or geez or cripes. These things are just sort of ways of saying it without saying it.
Jiminy Cricket. I've heard that.
I think
that's
Jiminy Cricket is.
Disney characters swear.
I think those are related? I think that's why they named him that? With the JC?
JC?
Oh, I wonder.
I don't know.
I think it's a coincidence.
What about, and the other, like, initial initialism, fiddlesticks and
fiddlesticks,
and
right?
Fudge ripple and things like people.
Say the word. I mean, really, I'm not that creative.
But Kevin, you have to be on the radio.
Kevin just brought something up. Weren't we just talking about what was it, Kevin?
Was it Jinkus Pete, Bill?
Yeah. A friend of my wife's, her friend Marie, when she was growing up, there was somebody close to her, and anytime something bad would happen, they'd go Jinkus Pete. I thought, that sounds like something a newspaper boy of the 1930s would say if you stole his newspaper.
Jinkus? I'm writing these down, by the way.
J-I-N-K-U-S-P-E-T-E. Jinkus Pete, exclamation point, exclamation.
Why Pete?
I don't know. I still don't know why people say for Pete's sake.
Or for the love of Pete.
Or for the love
Who
of Pete.
Who is Pete? He's not McMurray.
I don't think it is Pete McMurray.
What about Mother Hubbard?
I've heard that a bunch of times. Yeah.
Mother Hubbard? Yeah. I like that.
I liked in Fantastic Mr. Fox, they said, what the cuss?
Did they? Yeah. I don't remember that.
It was like their go-to.
All right.
That's good. What's good?
Son of a biscuit.
I've heard that a bunch.
Son of a biscuit. But did Kevin, were you able to pull that? I sent Kevin a clip from Christmas Story.
Oh, from Christmas? Darren McGavin?
Yeah. Do you have that?
Let's play a little bit of that. Listen to Darren McGavin.
Oh, blast it. Hoot, blurt, rattle, rat, hammer, flirt. You blocker, rattle, beast, jerk, a rat.
In the heat of battle, my father wove a tapestry of obscenity that, as far as we know, is still hanging in space over Lake Michigan.
Now, when my father-in-law was alive, he didn't swear, but he did a similar version of that. Like that. And to be funny, but... It was swearing without swearing.
Right. I mean, that's the whole idea here. It's called a minced oath.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
Is the term of art, linguistic art with that. And I was just wondering if other people, if there anyone in the listening audience has any that they use, that they can remember. Another one that comes up all the time is people will say, and this really doesn't work because people say like Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah.
Right. Howard.
Well, it seems there's several theories as to where the H comes from because I guess if you look at in Greek and you look at the first three letters of the name Jesus in Greek, it looks like JHS or JHC.
Oh,
and so that the H is there, and other people think it's because of like hallowed be thy name, but that hallowed or Harold is his middle name.
Harold be his name?
I don't know. But it's something that comes up. It came up in Mark Twain. I mean, this is really
the
old
H
thing
part
the
of
H.
Jesus
yeah.
H. Christ.
Yeah. Someone said Jesus H. Roosevelt Christ. where does that even come from? And why does that help? I mean, haven't you taken the name of the Lord in vain
right.
when you say that already?
You're not softening it with the letter H.
You say Roosevelt in there. It doesn't help. But
we need to look at his passport and see what the H stood for.
I'm going to say Reince Priebus.
Right, exactly.
Reince Priebus. That's excellent.
Yeah,
that's
I like
a good
that.
Swearer.
Like that.
And then on SpongeBob, whenever they edit out a swear that usually Mr. Krabs is doing, they use the dolphin noise.
Oh yeah, I've heard that. Right.
I can't do it. It's a sick dolphin
that's
today.
Pretty good.
That's very good. All right, the calls are lining up at 312-981-7200. We're talking about swearing and the substitutes that fill in nicely for the swear words. Give us a call or a text. We'll be back after this. It's Bill and Wendy, along with Eric Zorn of the Chicago Tribune on WGN.
The cuss you are.
The cuss am I? Are you cussing with me?
No, you cussing with me?
Don't cuss and point
You're
going to
cuss with someone.
Don't
you're
you,
not going to cuss with me,
you
little
cuss.
Cuss
with me. You
We're talking to Eric Zorn about just that, cussing and substitutes for the real deal. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. We call them minced oaths.
Don't you do a podcast?
It is.
Bing, bing, bing.
We mince our words all the time.
Pat has called us at 312-981-7200. Hey, Pat, what's your substitute swear word?
Oh, my mother, such a sweet lady. Every time she got upset, it was Judas Priest.
She said Judas Priest. Now, was this before or after the band formed?
Oh, my goodness. This was back in the 1950s.
But is Judas Priest, I mean, obviously that's a substitute for Jesus Christ. But,
yeah.
But does it work? Does it get you out of whatever
you
punishment?
You didn't swear.
You didn't swear.
Right.
No, she just very seldom when she'd really get upset, and I didn't know who Judas Priest was when I was a little kid.
Of course not. Wow. Well, thank you very much for that.
Oh, yes. I love you, Bill and Wendy.
Thanks, Pat. Thank you. Very kind. We love you back. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
I honestly don't know which came first, the band Judas Priest or the swear Judas Priest.
I'll bet the swear did. She said it was the 50s, right?
Yeah, she did say that.
The band took their name from a Bob Dylan song, The Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest. That's what I'm getting according to Wikipedia, although anybody can change that information.
I thought the band name came first, and when people started using it as a swear, it was because the band already existed. That's
what I heard. Mom did it in the 50s.
I think we have an original source here.
All right.
I think this qualifies as scholarship.
Right here. It should. Sarah is on the line. She would like to add into this. Hi, Sarah. It's us. What's up?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Yeah. We had 9 kids in our family, very Irish Catholic, and my father would not swear. And my mother, when we were probably all teenagers, she picked up the habit of saying, "Chitty, chitty, bang, bang."
And how did that meet with the locals? Were people okay with that? Could you say "chitty, chitty, bang, bang" without raising an eyebrow?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, we all knew what it meant, and we just laughed. Not sure if my dad knew what it meant.
It's a very kind way of getting your point across.
I like that one.
Thanks, Sarah.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Right.
That's good.
You can get away with that.
And Judas Priest, they're saying now, phrases.org, that it was something to go against Judas Iscariot.
Right.
Oh. So it definitely happened before the band.
Go against? What do you mean?
Well, it says Judas Priest is a swear. It's used on the theory that it's better, blah, 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 blah. Rather than saying Jesus, taking the Lord's name in vain, they said Rome's Judas Iscariot, Jesus's betrayer, the only Judean disciple among the 12, and according to the Gospel of St. John, their treasure, Judas went to the chief of priests and ordered to betray Jesus, for which he was paid the sum of 30 pieces of silver.
Right.
So that's they the history just kind of Judas, but why the priest part?
Because he went to the priests and something.
Well, you got to know your Bible.
Traditional Catholics
that.
Would still consider to Judas Priest damned, excommunicated to be avoided. Yeah. Even that Catholics don't like that.
Piffle.
Yeah, Piffle is right. I'm going to start saying King Herod, just to see what kind of reaction that gets.
One person said, my husband, Jack Whitmer, who was choral director of the York High School for 19 years and sang in the Chicago Symphony Chorus, used to say there's only one swear word in the English language, and that is developer.
I don't get it.
Like real estate developer, someone who comes in and builds buildings around. Yeah. I don't know. Developer. Contractor. I don't know.
Sister Beth is on the line. Oh. Hi, Sister Beth.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. Any truth to that Judas Iscariot and Judas Priest comment?
It might be true, but yeah, because 30 pieces of silver is what Judas was paid to turn Jesus over to the...
Right.
Anyway, I'm calling because, you know, when you're driving a van full of young people, mm-hmm. eighth graders especially, you come to intersections in Chicago and some people run the red light. So I have to find a way to express my discontent without causing a scene. And so my kids all say to me, "Dumb bunny." And so I'll say it again. And they say it together, "Dumb bunny." So it works all the time.
That seems more equitable.
Although there was a singing nun, I would kind of like to hear a swearing nun.
I don't know if dumb bunny would do it for me if I were...
Not satisfying enough?
It doesn't sound satisfying.
But if there's kids in the car...
Yes,
then
agreed.
Maybe.
Thank you, Sister Beth. We appreciate it.
Okay.
That is one wholesome sister right there.
Did you notice me sit up straighter
yes.
when I realized there was a sister on the phone?
Yes, I did.
I don't know why. I just did.
Chitty, chitty, bang, bang.
Yeah, exactly.
That's chitty, chitty, bang, bang. You're scaring me. All right, with the first one.
You were close.
Dag nabbit.
You were very close.
There's one we discussed, and then this one's just crazy, but I've heard people use it. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, my word, now you've got to consider that you're having a conversation with somebody in a disagreement.
Yeah.
And the word that rolls right off my tongue, bologna sausage.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. You can get away with that almost anywhere, couldn't you?
Or just bologna,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. But
no, well, you got, you know, because it takes the place of
BS. BS. It's for BS.
Yeah, so you need the S.
Bob Surratt.
Bob Surratt.
Bob Saget. Bob right. Saget.
Any of those will work. Bruce Sutter. You can get, there's thousands of them. Lisa, thanks
well, yeah,
for...
yeah, you could do that.
Thank you so much for the call.
I use rubbish sometimes in print. You'll
That's
notice
it's so British.
It is very British.
I know, and because I'm so continental.
Oh, rubbish!
That
you have to say it with
like
an accent
somebody,
too.
Yeah, in a British pub would say if they were displeased.
But it has the same has some of the same characteristics as the word that I'm actually would like to use if I were writing for a adult publication.
Of course. And our paper is not an adult publication.
No, it's
all
a family newspaper.
It's for everybody.
For everybody, and I'm in that paper Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays, and I'm on the WGN Plus podcast. On Thursday.
You're everywhere.
I'm just everywhere.
It's Eric Zorn, everybody. He's everywhere. Read him, listen to him, enjoy him. Thank you, Eric. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what Steve has coming up next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.